I was thinking how human beings are a combination of nature and culture. And we adopt culture, partially because it is taught to us, but not only
that, others are trying to impose some culture upon us, but we also buy into it. There's buy-in. We also see it makes sense. It's logical. Just like, you know, you have to train animals not to pass urine or stool in the house, right? It makes sense. So it takes a little time, but after a while, they get it, right? Each time, you know, they start throwing out, and then one day, they got to the point. And in the same way, human beings also have a point. So culture is a very intricate network of codes, of behavior, that regulate our natures. And in that way, we can express our nature and be on safe ground. Just like we have a culture between men and women, there is an attraction, but there are certain codes, you know, do not touch, only under certain conditions, right? I mean, you know, all kinds of laws within the culture. And if they are transgressed, then that's commonly rejected. Anyway, so we are a makeup of nature and culture. And what is more important? We see that throughout history there have been movements about going back to nature. And Rousseau, for example, is known as one who was going back to nature, and it's often taken that he was more inclined towards living out in with the trees, the birds, and so on. But that wasn't everything. There was also psychology involved, which makes it in a way more interesting, at least to me. Wasn't just an external thing, it was about an internal thing, and it was about being more true to your perennial nature. So, well, that's something that rings a bell, because that applies to anyone in any time. And here we are, you know, locked in culture, locked in, and part of us wants to shake off those limitations. The spirit wants to be free, and yet it's, can be dangerous also. So we don't want to be too free, because if you let everything go, God knows what's going to happen. Then you can only oversee the consequences of one's actions. So one fundamental question then that does arise between nature and culture, which one is more important? Well, I thought, let me hear from you, from someone who's ready to sort of tell me what's more important, so I can be safe to my confused state. Since I bumped into you, so I've been lost in the woods, in the forest, in the jungles of my mind, wondering what to do. To be free. To release the animal in me, or better not.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I hear the voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah, there is no such a thing as what's not more important, because you can't have one without having the other.
Uh-huh.
So it's like saying, it's like the existence of the male and female, like the existence of the positive and negative. Nothing exists in the world except as two. So you can never have nature without nurture. And you will never have nature without culture. It's impossible. So they say nature loads the gun and nurture fires it.
Nature loads the gun and culture fires it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? That was good.
The term of personas, when we have left the state nature, culture is our way of trying to come back as much as we can. Or at least culture used wisely is trying to help us back there.
Taking it in without putting my opinion on top or something like that. Why would I do that? I guess it's more the question, and that becomes relevant to everyone. Right? Because how to find balance? I mean, you can find in a city like Melbourne, you can find people that may be more very much on the side of culture, and maybe others who are more on the side of just like, okay, letting it all go. You can find, I guess you can find a spectrum of behavior.
Well, this, if it's a spectrum, it will always be within nurture.
The spectrum. I can't hear you properly.
If it's a spectrum, it will always be within nurture, never nature. Because nature by itself is impossible to exist without nurture.
Yeah.
So if it exists on any spectrum, it's solely on the spectrum of nurture, never nature. It's impossible for nature as in and of itself to exist without that nurture part.
Sure. Anyway, I'm not proposing let's get rid of all culture. I mean, there was a movie called Temrock. I don't know if you ever heard about that movie, but it was a movie about a man lived in a big city with skyscrapers. On Monday, he knocked the front wall out of his apartment, put on an animal skin, got a club, went into the street, grabbed some lady by the hair, dragged her into his cave, and went into cave life. And so, that movie was asking the question in another way. Yeah, same thing, but it was just French movie. It was asking the question, then rock. It's an interesting movie because it's sort of rocking the foundations of society. Yeah. Let's go back to cave life. I'm not proposing to go back to cave life. I do think that that in some sense, if I look at the essence of my being, nature is what I would place first. And give, not that I necessarily will give it unlimited space, but my nature is what means the most to me. It's like my culture is what helps me, as you said. You said nature loads the gun, culture fires it. Yes, I think nature is who I am, is something I inherently am. Yeah? Culture is how I deal with it. Yeah? How I deal with what I am. That's why ultimately nature is more important to me, because it's about who I am. culture is, okay, how do I deal with it? You want to say something?
I was just thinking the punk rock sound to it. Yeah, that's, no, I think always saying it, like punk rock, hip hop, any kind of movement like that, even all this, just like a return to nature to be able to chant and make some noise and dance and do anything like that.
Yeah. Okay, here's.
Yeah.
I have a joke. Speaking of Germany, there's a scientist, whatever, in Germany, and he developed a machine which works on the base of quantum mechanics, and it scans your information body, and each organ is scanned individually, and it checks health status by checking on a scale of like complete stiffness and complete chaos. That's the two extremes, right? Like how I say, complete structure. And if it's too much on the structure side, then you get diseases like arthritis or whatever, not like stiffness. And if it's too much on the chaos side, you get things like cancer or whatever, right? So, and health is the most optimum, not in the balance between the two of them, but in the golden cut, the golden ratio, towards chaos. Right? And I think this is not just for our organs, but that's the principle which we can apply to many things. And one thing it applies, it can be for, like the structure is the culture which gives the norms and forms and, you know, like regulations and stuff. And the chaos is the nature where it's like all free. So it's a balance between the two of them, and in the golden ratio, that's the most where we can feel at the one side that we have the structure, everybody needs some non-basic, some security, some stability, you know, regulation. But we also need freedom to express ourselves, to be creative, to be innovative, and, you know, be alive. So, in this ratio, then, that's the best way to do it. That's something from Germany.
That was German indeed. A machine and all this. Interesting. Yeah, it was. Very interesting. Okay. So now the chanting of mantra, where would we place that? Since we sort of start with mantra, I want to connect a little bit to that. And would we place that in culture, or would we place that in nature? What would you say?
Nature.
I don't know, again, it was a few, yeah, I'm sorry, or something. That's interesting. Who would say it's culture? Culture. Yeah. What
about
it? Beyond. Beyond. Beyond,
yeah? Beyond.
You just said beyond or beyonds? I see. Yeah, it's all that, actually, I think. I think it's nature. It's culture. And you can say beyond, it doesn't go beyond our nature, it just goes beyond the nature that we currently have. It goes to, but it's beyond the nature that we know now. Because our current nature is, according to our Vedic literature, in a Vedic perspective, it's like the wind that blows over a field, picks up the scent of the field. Sometimes you can smell, and it's very dry. I guess in Australia you also know that, I know from other countries. it's raining somewhere else. Right? It's not raining where you are, but it's in a dry place, hasn't rained for ages, and the rain is 20 kilometers away, and you can smell it. And you smell the wind carries that scent of the rain. Or the wind carries the scent of roses. So it says the consciousness, like the wind, and it picks up scents, it picks up experiences, and it stays there. So, in this way, we become formed by external things that stay within our consciousness. Thus, that fits in Jungian philosophy, you know, things stored in the subconscious, also keep carrying with us. So, the mantra is something perennial, something going down to the root of our nature. It is it's relating to our essential being. And why is it so? Because who are we? I have many faces. It depends who I'm with. I'm a different person in a different situation. Here I'm peaceful. When you drive in a car over 170, I'm no longer peaceful. I'm like sitting there, like cramped in the seat, you know, especially when I'm not driving and someone else is driving. Over 170, I mean, my stomach, again, I'm not somewhere, and I'm in total anxiety, even if it's in Germany on the Autobahn. So, to name something, I'm a different person, a different situation, with different people. So who am I? I don't know. Life is like that, it brings out different sides of ourselves. Who are we? You enter into a relationship with someone, and it's not just that you are discovering that person's qualities, but that person brings out new qualities out of you also. It's a whole thing. You know, you kind of discover parts of yourself that you didn't know you had. That is a magic relationship. Right? So, who am I? I'm always in relationship with something. So the mantra is ultimately going to the roots of our being, because it comes from the spiritual platform, and so do we. Basically, it relates to the root of our existence. In that way, it relates to nature. In another way, the mantra relates to culture, in a sense that we're cultivating something. Because although this mantra relates to my roots, I have gone so far from my roots. I was born in Holland, and I can't shake it off very much. You know, I'm Dutch, right? No matter what, I have to be Dutch. Blunt, bold, adventurous, you know? Sometimes ready to do the crazy stuff also. Because I'm Dutch, I'm from Amsterdam, the Kennedy City. I'm from he's from Germany, and it sounded very structured, but he was, you know, different culture. So when we try to connect to our roots, it's not just that you just do that by some mental adjustment or some decision. Now I've connected my roots. It doesn't work like that. You can try, but it doesn't work. So the mantra, in that sense, is part of a culture, of a cultivation of another state of consciousness, going down to the roots. We'll do a little more mantra if it's okay with you. I cannot hear, so.
You understand that?
It
That is the note.
He wants me to go wild. You like wild? I don't want to scare you away and make the walls shake. I can do it. Yeah. I used to once upon a time play an electric guitar. And the whole neighborhood was enjoying or suffering, I'm not sure. So it's not too much for me, but I can bring the pace up. It's whatever you like.